members, chairperson of USAFA, board members of USAFA, acting CEO, and other executive members who are here. I think DOC today, we are blessed after the drought. and PMG, I didn't know that you operate outside Parliament, but I knew yesterday, I saw you yesterday with us where we had our committee meeting. You are most welcome. Actually, it's the continuation of the last discussion we had last week, where you were supposed to make a presentation to us in terms of your annual report in relation to the in particular also focusing on the Auditor General findings on your report, and of course your accounting of how did you carry forward your strategic plan as you presented to us for 2010-2011. So we are proceeding with that meeting. Chairperson?
Chairperson, thank you so much for affording us as we have an opportunity to come and present it today again. With me, I'm with the team, board members. I think two board members, so three board members, acting CEO and acting CFO, Executive Manager of Business Development, and the Board Secretary. Oh, yes, we did definitely an invitation to the Chief Executive, Internal Audit is part of us. So, Chairperson, without any waste of time, our presentation is still the same, and as we're supposed to present the annual report and the annual report and the matters and the AG report, the matters of emphasis by the AG, raised by the AG. And then what we did when we went back, we did sit down and especially information, like on the questions that were raised before we started, so we went down and make sure that we get necessary information to be able to respond accordingly. So with regard to what you're going to do, in terms of the context of what we're going to present, it will be annual report. Then under annual report, we'll deal with the performance vis-à-vis business plan. Number B will be matters raised by the Auditor General. C, it will be USAFA and USAFA financials. And then the second item will be the current operational interventions at USAFA, as has been asked by the members last week, which will be the background, the forensic investigation, assistance in capacitation of USAFA. And three will be the other reports, as the members did ask us, we must include, when you came back, the purpose and intentions of the international trade, and we must be able to give them the total amounts that we have spent in terms of those international trade. So, Chairperson, on the annual report and the matters raised by the AG will be led by the acting CEO, Assistant myself, and Prof. Park. So, I will hand it over to the acting CEO to lead us on the bed, on the annual report.
Thank you, Chair. Before I go into details of the annual report and the projects, I will hand over to Professor Parker to just go through the overview of the key projects. Then I will follow up on the detail and performance of the project. Over to you, Prof.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. What I would do is just present the context that informed the six projects which you see on this slide up there. And as we get to each project, we'll provide a little bit more information in terms of the background. Chairperson, just to put these key projects of the 2010-11 business plan into perspective, at the end of 2009, the agency had come through an intensive strategic repositioning exercise, and so this financial year we're reporting on saw us being in the first phase of beginning to implement aspects of that strategy. Importantly, that strategy has put us on a 2020 vision, and it provided for us key drivers for which we had to make fundamental shifts as an agency in order to respond to its mandate. But at the end of 2009, we had taken stock and were very cognizant of the problems and issues that we are facing up to that point. And so, so some of the projects, for example, numbers 5 and 6, were key issues in helping set us on a new path, the development of the universal service and access strategy in particular was something in which we were operating in a vacuum, and we felt it was extremely important. And so other strategic shifts that we made have been reported before the House previously, Chairperson, including those of the agency, moving away from being an implementer and a facilitator and trying to and positioning itself as a thought leader and as a knowledge hub with respect to universal service and access, and working in partnerships with multi-stakeholders rather than trying to take on implementation all by itself. So that's the background to the project, and I'll hand over to the acting CEO then for the specific reports in terms of how we managed to achieve on each of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Going through the project, well, the first slide will be dealing with the budget allocations for the key projects. I will go quickly on that slide, then later on I'll go on the actual performance against each project. There was a budget allocation of 180 million for the set-top box subsidies, and also another allocation for capacity building under the BDM project, which was 17.2 million. And the increase in broadband infrastructure had an allocation of 13.75 million. For the new public access centers, we had an allocation of 16.75 million. And the implementation of the handover strategy, that is the handover project, is 7.9 million. And on the development of the universal service and access strategy, we had 2.7 million. Initially, on the development of the fund manual, there was no allocation. But when the budget was adjusted, we had an allocation of 2.1 million that we had to move to this project. As Prof. Bata said, it was viewed as one of the critical projects that we had to undertake during the past financial year. On the detailed performance of the project, I will start with the set-top boxes. This is one of the main projects in the industry currently. USASA's role is to subsidize the set-top boxes. There was some delays in terms of unfolding of the project, outside of USASA, of course, when the issues of the broadcasting standards were discussed. That could not be finalized on time. That meant that the process of manufacturing of the set-top boxes did not take place. Our plan was that with the current allocation that we have, we would subsidize 367,000 set-top boxes. However, that process of manufacturing has not started. Therefore, we reflect it as not achieved because at some point the project was delayed. I've already summarized the current slides just to give a short background to this project of BDM. As I mentioned earlier on, that USASA was given this task to subsidize the set of boxes. When the project was initiated, there was an estimate of a cost of 750 that a set of box would cost, and therefore a decision was taken that there will be a 70% subsidy for the boxes, which would amount to 490 that USASA would have to subsidize. And obviously, currently, if we we look at the issues of the specification of the set-top box. If they are not finalized, then it means those figures would not necessarily apply, as we would have perhaps new cost of a set-top box. And based on the previous calculations that I mentioned, then we had an estimation that an amount of 2.45 billion would be required during the dual illumination period. And I said earlier on, with the new specs that can come up on set-top boxes, then these figures would obviously have to change. The next project was the deployment of the broadband infrastructure. During the business planning process, we identified three areas where we would deploy broadband, one being at Umsinga in KwaZulu-Natal, the other one was a Malahleni local municipality in the Eastern Cape, and the third one was the Giyani local municipality in Limpopo. During the budgeting process, we had an estimation of 4.5 million for each area. Because it's a new project, we never undertook any such kind of a project. We started with Umsinga, where we saw the proposals from the operators that the costs were very high. The lowest proposal at Umsinga was 26 million. It meant that the budget that we had to spend all of it on Umsinga only. That meant that the other two areas we could not cover on the budget that we had. The next project was on the handover of the existing centers. We will recall that one of the issues we had to battle with was there's old centers that USASA established out there. Some of them, the governance totally collapsed. Some of them, the equipment is old. Hence, we came up with this project of handing over. Handing over meant that there were several phases that we had to go through, starting from the needs analysis, the procurement of equipment, the training of the center. The project delay in the first phase on the needs assessment due to several reasons. One of them was the service provider was battling to get to some of the centers. Some of the centers are in the rural areas where you don't have the physical address. So there were delays in completing that first phase. It meant then that it affected the rest of the phases. For the past financial year, we managed to complete the first phase of needs analysis and the second phase of procurement of equipment for the targeted centers that would form part of the first phase of the handover. And we also, by end of March, we managed to train the managers of the access centers on business planning and management of the center itself to make sure that it's sustainable. The next project would be the deployment of the new access centers. On the budget, initially, we estimated that we would be able to complete 100 new access centers. However, during the process of bidding, we noticed that the amount that we have would not cover the 100 access centers. It would probably cover 37 access centers. By the end of the financial year, we had not achieved the 37 access centers. The 23 access centers that reflect on the annual report. At those centers, there were renovations at the center, and there were furniture that was deployed as desk for the computers. But by that time, end of March, those centers were not fully functional. The next project is one of our research projects. We said for us to be able to move forward and be able to have measurable plans, we had to undertake two key projects under research, one of them being to develop a universal service and access strategy. And that project had several phases. One of the phases was to develop a monitoring and evaluation framework, but also at the end to be able to quantify these access gaps, to say these are the areas that have gaps, and this is how much it would cost us to be able to complete. We are reflecting it as not achieved, although we managed to secure a service provider and the strategy document was developed, but because the two phases were not completed, monitoring and evaluation framework we could not complete, and also the quantification of the access gap we could not complete. If one looks at the comment on the annual report, it says the process of consultation with the stakeholders will continue in the next financial year. That phase was not part of the previous financial year. It would continue. It's just to indicate as to what will be the next steps on the project. The second one under research is the fund manual and standard operation procedures for the Universal Service and Access Fund. The purpose of this project was to make sure that there will be a manual that will tell us how do we operate, how do we access this fund, but also the operation procedures internally to say what steps in detail, so that if one applies for the fund, we can tell exactly how long it's going to take and what process it's going to follow. We reflecting it as not achieved, the same applies to the Universal Service and Access Strategy, that not all the phases were completed. One of the phases that we were supposed to complete was to develop a framework to determine the subsidy levels. We didn't cover that phase, hence we reflected it as not achieved. However, the document on fund manual was completed. We did manage to get a service provider to assist us on that. The third project under research was the development of measurable ICT assets and impact indicators. One of the reasons we came up with this project was that we noted that previously we used the ITU. We used the ITU indicator. We had this ambition that if we have the VISASA, we can try to localize our measurements of ICT impact. However, when we looked at our budget, we felt there's two projects that we need to prioritize under research, which is the fund manual and the strategy. So the funds for this project were reprioritized to the strategy project. Then no activity took place on this project. We felt we could always review and see if we cannot take it up later on. On your permission, Chair, I will move over to the next session on the matters that were raised by the AG in the annual report. One of the areas that was raised by AG was the usefulness of information that we're receiving from USASA. To them, they were saying the information, when it comes to the performance of USASA, when they're looking against the business plan, it was not telling them exactly what was supposed to be delivered when. We are noting that, and we agree that when we looked at our business plan after the issue was raised, we do agree that, especially under research, there were projects that did not have very clear measurements. Projects relating to ad hoc reports, for instance, it was not clear to say what kind of a report. Will it be on usage or uptake, and when is it going to be delivered? We have noted that, and we've made an undertaking that as we go to our next strategy session, which will be next week, we will ensure that we develop the measurable indicators. indicators. But further than that, we have also requested the assistance from AG if they can give us a specialist to make sure that when we develop our strategy and our business plan, we will indeed have very clear measurable indicators. The second one, Chair, on indicators not well defined, is referring to exactly what I have already raised. It's just that in the annual report, they raised it twice. On the financial statements, they raised an issue that they were not received on time. There were delays in receiving the financial statements. We're noting that, Chair, and we agree, during this process, it was when USASA was moving offices from one block to another. One of the reasons that these were delayed, it was due to the process of asset verification. That process delayed because during the move, some of the assets lost some barcodes. So it took longer to verify as to which item does the barcode belong to. We've noted that, and we can assure the House that now that ISASA has settled, then the matter is not going to be happening again. Another area that was raised was on the strategic planning that was not conducted during the financial year, which resulted in the performance management system not being in place. We're noting that as well, and we acknowledge that during that year, we're busy with the process of migrating the staff to the new organizational structure. And indeed, we didn't manage to go through the process of reviewing the whole organizational strategy and the new business plan. However, we are confident that as we go through the next strategic planning session and the organization is almost stable, then the performance management system will be in place. Currently, we do have performance management contracts with the staff, and we do assessments on a quarterly basis. And also in terms of reporting, we've made sure that there are monthly reports and quarterly reports. The next one, Chair, will be on asset reconciliation not in place. I've briefly touched on it when I spoke about the issue of the barcode. However, the way it is raised in the annual report is reflecting as if the agency did not perform the asset reconciliation. But it's only due to the issue I raised that during the move, the barcodes were missing and we had to take longer to make sure that we do the reconciliation. Another issue raised was on the business continuity plan, where the AG raised that we do not have the business continuity plan. We acknowledge that, Chair, we do have a draft document already that will be submitted in our next board meeting for approval. The last few issues that were raised, one was on irregular expenditure of an amount of 490,000 rand. What happened, Chair, there were two projects. The first one was on skills audit that USASA undertook. After the skills audit project, its results led to the process of migrating the staff to the new structure. As management of USASA, we saw those projects as separate projects. However, from the AG's point of view, they argue that those projects could have been one project, and if they could have been one project, it meant that there would be more than the 500,000, and therefore they were supposed to go on tender. We are noting that, and we are saying our new strategic planning process will ensure that when we do planning, we'll have an integrated plan when we will be able to know that if we identify a project, we'll be able to see it end to end, whether it needs to go on tender or is below the 500,000. The last one they raised here is the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which costs an amount of 66,000. This was due to a capped leave for one of the employees that was appointed by USASA. The employee was from the then Department of Public Enterprise. The issue was was raised a long time ago. We have since sought the legal opinion on the issue. In our next board meeting, we will be making a submission for condonation based on the legal opinion that we have received. At that point, Chair, I will hand over to the chairperson to deal with the current operational issues that is at hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The current operations, ultimately the current operations intervention that SASA has been raised by the members last week before we move into the formal session. What happened, as we have said, that the current forensic investigation that is currently happening in the organization, and then that forensic investigation was led by the board members after they went through the analysis of expenditures in May, and which resulted in the board requesting an open review by the Audit and Risk Committee. And this resulted, the results of the open review were presented to the board subsequently. Subsequently, the board resolved to institute a forensic investigation. And after that, after the board had looked into the open review report, then they did put three officials were put on a special leave and later on a precautionary suspension. And the board reported the developments to the shareholder. At a bilateral meeting held with the shareholder, a joint task team was established between USASA and GOC. And then the joint task team job was to do an oversight on capacitation of USASA and a forensic investigation. So the board took a resolution to place a CEO on a special leave. And then on the issue of capacitation, a technical advisor was appointed by the board for a period of 6 months and to assess the current situation and to take corrective action in respect of effective systems and processes in the areas of finance and SEM were required. The terms of references as reflected there of the technical advisor was identify governance and financial issues currently prevailing at USASA and advise the CEO and the board as appropriate on the necessary corrective action that facilitates the formulation, review of general governance policies of the USASA in terms of pertinent laws, ensure the submission of a monthly progress report regarding the effective functions of USASA to the board, ensure that USASA performs its functions in terms of Electronic Communication Act, PFMA of 1999, and other relevant legislation. Perform any such other functions as may be delegated or instructed by the board from time to time. And then I will move quickly, Chairperson, to we asked about if we can submit the international steps that we took and the amounts, including the total cost and the papers. The first trip was the ITU, the Plenipotentiary Conference, which was held in Mexico, and then the purpose of the and the lessons learned is ITU Plenipotentiary Conference to decide the future role of organizations, determining the organization's ability to influence and affect the development of ICT. The total cost there was about 133,032. And then the CTO is Commonwealth Telecommunication Council, which was held at Sri Lanka. And then the purpose of the trip was Golden Jubilee meeting of the Council of the Commonwealth Telecommunication Organization. And the main purpose was to examine the progress of CTO, of which the DOC is a member, and ISASA is a member. And other members, I think Centec, ICASA, are members of the CTO. The total cost there was 31,344.60. And then the other workshop was ICT for development to ASEAN in Southern Sudan on 2010. The theme was the connectivity for communication, commerce, and governance to ASEAN in Sudan. And then the objective of the conference was to gather experts to assist and advise the government of Southern Sudan in formulating a telecommunication strategy and policy. So this one, it was a sponsored conference. The CTO paid the cost. And we had an Intel Universal Service Fund African Leaders Forum in 2010. And then the forum engaged key leaders, African Universal Services, and access funds to help share experiences, challenges, and ideas, and to contribute to the process of capacity building and knowledge sharing of users throughout Africa. The total cost there was 49,367.16. The ICT Finance for Emerging Global Market Summit was held in London, and the main purpose was to establish the ICT funding requirements for the CTO members. And then the summit also provided an opportunity to meet with various stakeholders who are participating, from the technology companies to fund. And the purpose of this was to implement the decision which was taken at Sri Lanka, where the CTO Council took a resolution to establish what we call the CTO ICT Development Fund, which is going to assist the member countries in terms of funding their programs. And the total cost to that workshop is 19,261.67. Then the other workshop was a strategic and organizational imperative in global economy and implications of HR. It was held in Nairobi, Kenya. The workshop was for HR, human resource management in ICT, addressing the following topics: business continuity processes and preparedness and capacity building, effective BCP strategy for operators, planning and investing in network security, secure and resilient information system, planning for operational continuity, ensuring revenue opportunity with BCP for telecoms operators, key lessons learned, understanding the challenges of BCP specific to ICT, and the unique role HR can play in this high-tech, competitive, and enabling sector. Mm-hmm. The cost there was 47,529. The other cost was the validation workshop of SADC guidelines on universal service and access, and best practice was held in Windhoek, Namibia. And the purpose was to influence policy to be formulated by the ITU, CRASA, SADC on universal service and access, as experienced during the definition process. The total cost is 57,755. And then the last cost was the 9th Digital Summit, which was held in Mombasa, Kenya. And then the summit brought together policymakers, ICT regulators, operators, equipment vendors, financiers, infrastructure developing companies to explore strategies for the development of rural communication services and capacity. The summit highlighted that the rhetoric global connectivity is now superseded by the reality of undersea cabling. High speed, large bandwidth capacity to the rest of the world is already improving the quality of life for many regions. And then the total cost for this cost, for this workshop, is 21,939. So the total cost of all the international trips that we've taken during the last financial year amounts to 414,577,000. I thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done? Everything? Michael Mtambi, Kilen,
thank you, Chair. I'm not going to hop on side issues that I brought up last. last time. Chair, what I do want to discuss, though, is on page 10 of the report that we've received today, the three officials that were placed on special leave and later on precautionary suspension. Are these officials receiving a salary while they're on leave? Who's dealing with the leave? Is your HR department dealing with it? Are you, have lawyers been involved, labour lawyers? Because, Chair, I think it sends out the wrong kind of message. And this is, I hear Mansoor agreeing with you. And this, yeah, that nothing's been done about it, exactly. It's sort of acknowledging that there's a problem and doing, starting to do something, but what you're doing is just not, it's not good enough. And Chairperson, this has been a problem throughout the annual reports over the last 2 years, is the people aren't held accountable for their mistakes, and it's a general problem in that people think that they can do things wrong because they just get away with it in the end. How many times we hear people are on special leave for 6 months on full pay and then they resign of their own accord, and because they've resigned of their own accord, then no action is taken against them. And I think, Chair, this is something we must certainly not be encouraging. So I would like a full explanation of these three officials that have been placed on special leave.
Tambi?
Thank you, Chair. My question is on page 9 of the presentation. The issue of the irregular expenditure. We are told the action is that the strategic process will address the issue of integrated planning. That's the action that has been taken. To that purposes, that is not satisfactory. I'm sitting here asking myself to say, how will this actually assist? Because we'll have a situation where it will be told. The mere fact that the AG has picked it up, the issue of understanding and misunderstanding to us doesn't hold any water. We want to understand what action has been taken on this one, because according to the AG's view, this is purely splitting of a tender. So we need a satisfactory answer to that effect. Same with regard to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chairperson. We are told there is going to be a submission based on the outcome of the legal advice. I think we need to be taken on board on this one to understand what were the outcomes of that legal advice and then what informed the conversation part of it. Because, you see, we are tired of these things. People will just continue to involve themselves in the photo expenditure because of this thing of the condonation, the body will condone. I think we need to be told what was the legal opinion all about. The other question, Chairperson, is with regard to page 11 of the presentation on the issue of the capacitation of Insasa. I was looking at your annual report with regard to your HR related, and I'm seeing the amount of money that are paid to board members and your senior management. And now we are told of this thing, a technical advisor appointed. I can see the terms of reference that are put there. But I think these are the duties of certain board members and officials in USASA. But going further, Chairperson, I want to know whether there has been a service level agreement that has been signed with this technical advisor, and then the financial implication thereof. How much is this technical advisor getting, and then where does the money come from? Is it budgeted for? I want to know that, Chairperson. Thank you for now.
Kilian.
Thank you, Chairperson. I first of all just need clarity. I don't quite understand the program performance slide, where it is stated that STB scheme of ownership and support was not received. 180 million was was made available but not received, because this, unfortunately, Chairperson, this is a document that does not have a page number. It is the one, USASA Annual Report 2010-2011, and I just wanted to have clarity between this slide and slide 9, let me just check. Yes, where it was stated that it was allocated. So it was allocated, but it was not in fact transferred. Is that the understanding? I just want clarity about that. Secondly, Chair, thank you. I just want to ask, this is actually, I have to express extreme disappointment, for lack of stating anything else, that we actually have on the project, it seems, we have not achieved most of them, altogether 7 projects. We have had 1 party delivered and some of the others really very scantily elements of it delivered. And if we look from a point of value for money that South African citizens have derived from it, we actually have to state that they've certainly not derived any value for money from this agency. And one needs to argue what is the impact of this agency on this sector. Now, if we look at the board and the composition of the board, we have highly qualified and highly skilled board members, including members who are very well acquainted with strategic planning and the implementation of a strategic plan once adopted. And one cannot help but to say, where did it go wrong? Did it go wrong because the board was misled? Did it go wrong because the board didn't apply their mind, did not check the plans that were in place, and did not receive regular report back on progress made? Where did it go wrong? And I believe that we really, as a committee, need to have full disclosure of what has gone wrong. The criminality or alleged criminality is one element, but failure to perform is clearly significantly present. And one can only refer to the Auditor General's analysis of what was said about the lack of control. And what now seems to be over into an investigation is the result of lack of internal controls. And I want to ask, did the board at no stage, did the finance committee, did the audit committee, did none of these institutions identify the weaknesses? Because as stated by the Auditor General, and I want to refer specifically to the last sentence on page 69, governance, there was no business continuity plan, disaster recovery plan, and fraud prevention plan. Now, Chairperson, that is really an indictment on the entire board. And the issue of the delay of the standards and the problem with the manufacturing and setup boxes, etc., that is one issue. But even if that matter was in place, it would not have made any impact on USASA's delivery to South Africa. To make sure that the poorest of the poor actually are ready for the broadcasting, the digital migration, and to really have an impact on the lives of people. So I'm asking, where did it go wrong? Is it incompetence? Is it dishonesty? Is it lack of interest? Is it lack of interest from the board? Where did it go wrong? And I do believe that we need an explanation. Thank you, Chairman.
Trabajando.
chairperson. This organization is about access. And once again, you are talking about universal and access. Those two terminologies is extremely important. And number one, access, I do not see here. For me and my constituency, access is not presented to this organization. Your projects, as the previous member said, is all about not achievements, no achievements. So the, he's telling me that there's no achievement done through universal, there's no achievement, no universal access, because there's no achievement. So we need more clarity, I think, as to why specifically these programs or projects have not been achieved. The set-up boxes, the STBs, you are saying they're not at all. 360,000, I want to know. Where has that gone wrong? Was it with the department, with the manufacturers? Where have you gone wrong in that? Just give us some more clarity on that issue. And then you also said cabinet's approval of the 490 rand, that is a subsidy, but yet there's no STBs that have been distributed. So obviously the cost would then be going up. If it's not been done or manufactured this year, then obviously in the next financial year the cost will go up. And it means that people who get the subsidy, but, you know, all this will not be achieved. People who receive grants, people who are unemployed, if the price goes up in the next financial year, how does it affect the ordinary man on the street? Thirdly, and then, sorry, I followed the presentation with no pages, page numbers here. Then you talk about the Masinga local municipality. You're only saying that one of them has been achieved, where the other three has not been, the other two has not been achieved because of financial problems. So I would like to know how much was, you know, how much is the other two, if you want to also build the other two centers, how much will that cost if you are saying that your budget has been used for the Masinga alone? So how much will that cost to build the other two as well in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo? Then we talked about fully functional access centers. You haven't even covered even 50%, only 23 out of 100. So, I mean, 77 is still outstanding. So that 77, I mean, what is it budget for? Not there, is the money still there? The money ran out. Are you going to ask for more funds now with the BRR? So what happened as to why did the funds run out there? So the fund manual and the SOP from the USASA fund, the time frame for that, when will it be completed? At the end of next year, in this year, when? There's no time frames allocated to these various projects. So I just want to know, every time we hear there's a fund, but there's no, you know, nothing has been used from the fund. The fund is growing. So what is the delay there again? Can you just explain that regarding the fund? So when is that manual going to be completed? Is there a time frame connected to it? And then there's one more. In your annual report, page 57, I read there that the board members who have been going to the meetings, I see that throughout there, it's just out of four board members, there are only two. And one member is also part of the risk management and HR management. And only risk management, the attendance of meeting, sorry, the interpreter's mistake, the attendance of meeting. HR, out of seven meetings, has not attended any meetings. So if you just look at that table there, it's a concern. So can you tell us as to why certain members have not attended those meetings, or why there is such a low attendance of meetings, please? Thank you.
Honorable Mruto.
I just want to express my feeling about the report that I expected that you are going to have a purely revised report today. I'm very disappointed, Chairperson, because my colleagues have stated clearly that the issue of projects that were not achieved. It makes us wonder the question that was asked by Honorable Killian, what went wrong? I'm going to comment because I raised this question and I made a proposal last time that we get a full explanation of this overseas. And why did they take? But when I go through the trips, these are the trips that could have educated USASA more so that they can deliver. But none of what is here, USASA has, used what they gained from the trips. You know, what was asked by Honorable Killian to me, I think. Really, we do need an explanation of what is wrong. And we are not getting it for the fact that one of the questions that we raised, USASA comes back still with that the issue that was asked by Honorable Member, I don't know whether it's Killian, the issue of was it a CEO or somebody that was paid and they never. Explain to us whether the legal matters pertaining to that, and they still come back with the same response that they gave us last time. I don't know whether, to me, you know, going up and down from here to Johannesburg, that is a lot of money, and they still come back with a questionable report again. I think it's just not, it's not appealing to us as parliamentarians. It is also stated in this by the Auditor General that there are so many questions that should be asked by parliamentarians, although they have acquired a report from the Auditor General and an opinion. But there are so many things that should have been. Those are the things that we raised, and we thought that USASA will improve on that and come with a better report. But I think this is worse than what we understood the other day. Thank you, Chairperson.
Darren.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies for joining the meeting late. Chairperson, I've listened to what my colleagues have said, but I just want to register a concern. But I hope it won't repeat itself. Maybe it happened, you let it go through because I wasn't here. Because if I was here, I wouldn't have allowed it. Chairperson, we agreed in this committee that everybody, when he or she is coming to present here, he or she circulates the presentation before we come to the particular committee. So that you are able to go through the presentation, we compare it with whatever is in the annual report. We have seen several times people presenting reports that do not talk to the annual reports or the final report. That's a concern. I hope it won't happen in USASA. Maybe I understand that's how you work in USASA. If you decide to have your board meetings, you just go there, see the agenda there. But that's not how we work. We take our work very seriously. We expect you to do so. I called up to 8:30 yesterday looking for your presentation. Only after 9:30 when you sent your presentation. I think also our staff needs to be protected because you can't be calling them that time as if they are getting money for overpaid, for overtime. Chairperson, coming to the report, I see the report as presented by the agency. But my interest is in the work of the Audit and Risk Committee that has its findings that led to the placing of others on suspension, or not on leave, whatever English that you put there, but that others are not at work. I asked questions last time. I was hoping that this day they will respond to that. My question still stands. Does USASA dispute the AG findings? Taking into consideration the fact that you have undergone the internal audit, and then what you came up with is not part of what the AG is saying, and it all took place in the same financial year that we're talking about. What is the status of the AG report according to USASA, so that we know when we're moving on that this is your position based on whatever findings that you had? Secondly, Chairperson, now that the AG was not able to pick up the things that the project team was managed to pick up, does it mean some information was hidden to the AG, or somebody lied to the AG? There must be an explanation. How come such a huge amount of money is discovered and the AG has not picked up something? There's only one thing that AG does. They call for samples of whatever based on whatever things that you submit. Then, as the agency, you are expected to declare those that they did not pick up if you know they are going to cause evil. Moving forward, Chairperson, in one of your previous reports, the findings by the AG, I think that's 2009, the AG states the lack of policies and procedures not in place in your server. If the agency can help tell me that, as from 2009 up to now, you do have those policies and procedures in place. If they are not there, what have you done to rectify that in the previous financial year? A report on the appointment of the technical advisor, Chairperson, also has been given. I've seen the terms of reference. Chairperson, we've experienced some very strange thing with SAPC, whereby we had someone who came and presented several times to the portfolio committee. I recall one of the days I asked when they were presenting a structure, say, where are you in the structure? And he said, I'm down there. I couldn't see the down there part because they were showing us the higher level. Only to discover a day before yesterday that he is a consultant. This man has been doing a job of full-time personnel, taking critical decisions in terms of SABC. Now, my apologies, this is what I experience all the time. Now, Chairperson, I don't want to find ourselves in the same predicament like SABC, whereby a need for a technical advice is requested. And then when one takes over in the duties, he takes over the work of the people that were paid, that are seated there in New South. I've gone through, as I have said, those things that he must help in terms of governance and all that, if you can take me through Mutambi. But there's a line that says, perform any such other functions as may be delegated or instructed by the board from time to time. Chairperson, we've heard when we had the presentation from ICASA, at times there are interferences. You don't want a situation whereby the board feels that performance whatever, your standard of some sort, whatever position that you put there, does not give Ustela required, according to the board, points in terms of performance. Therefore, the technical advisor must advise. If you can get clear tabulated terms of reference, that will speak into technical advice. My understanding also of the technical advisor, Chairperson, as I see the board has taken a decision then under the capacitation of USASA, then they mentioned the issue of the technical advice. If I were to be made to understand by the members of the task team, if there are any here, and the board that agreed to that. When you decide to say, we need capacity for USASA, but then you think of a service provider, a short-term person, your technical advice, do we have enough capacity in USASA? What is the duration of this technical advisor? If it is 6 months, it is a year. What's going to happen to USASA after he has left? Is there to provide this technical advice in terms of transferring the skills to those that are employed by USASA that we are paying today? Or he is going to be giving instructions, and even those that must follow the instructions don't even understand, but this man has been appointed to advise the CEO and the board. Does it mean we plan to build the capacity of the CEO? Because definitely if the CEO needs advice, it means he doesn't have capacity. That's what this says. Moving forward, Chairperson. In the report, I see the report presented by the project Professor Pata, key project. I don't know if it was just a presentation or if specifically talking to his scope of work. There was no current, I wasn't here. But if it specifically talks to his work, where are the reports of the other board members in terms of what they were there for in USASA and what have they achieved? Chairperson, also, I raised the issue of the capacity of the internal staff with ICT-related matters. You said the other day when we were in SABC, SABC has been in the ICU. Now they've been taken out of the ICU, but they are still in the consulting room. They are not yet out. If the person we need to understand something, you know, that's how we need to know. Do we have the relevant skills currently as we are speaking, to make sure that they take up the mandate of USASA, because we are going to experience a problem if we keep on bringing these people 6 months, 3 months, we suspend for capacity and all that and all that. Chairperson, USASA has a critical mandate. It needs be that as this committee, after receiving the information that you are looking for, and the investigation that we need to do in terms of the things that we are raising, if there is a need for us to say, we have satisfied ourselves based on the information and the research that we're going to conduct, USASA does not have capacity, therefore they cannot serve the purpose of their establishment. Chairperson, USASA is a ministerial agency, but is funded by the public fund. That is why you find us having interest. It's like the OC, it's a ministerial competence, but you engage us every day with DOC because it's funded publicly. We have a responsibility as public representatives in this parliament to advise our government to do away with USASA, or we take the function, because we need it, take the function somewhere, as long as the mandate is not achieved. It's been years, Chairperson. I hope we're tracking progress. I went through the reports from 2007 to now. I wanted to satisfy myself in terms of the capacity of the people that are leading USASA, your board, and the people that are managing USASA, your management and your staff. Chairperson? Also,
point of order.
No, sorry, Chair. I was under the impression that you threw. I just wanted to ask the question on another page as well.
Oh, you can proceed, Honorable.
Okay. Chairperson, if also USASA can take us through the process of appointing the technical advisor. Was it open? What was the criteria that was used? And also if they can help give us a brief background or a profile of the person that is going to advise the board and the CEO. The joint custom has taken a decision that has a need to capacitate USASA. The joint task team is made of DOC and some board members. In the last appearances of
the other entities and USASA included, were in the absence of the DOC. We have raised a concern in this committee. If these entities come to us as Parliament with a report in such a state, whereby we authorize, I might as well resign in Parliament and go and assist these entities. Because of the things that are happening or the reports that you are getting when you're making your presentation. We even questioned the capacity of the DOC to provide leadership to these entities. Now, if the same DOC that you questioned capacity on, that could not take any opportunity to brief us as Parliament based on the work of the entities, or to avail themselves so that when we engage with the entities, they are here to say, this is the assistance that we have done. I'm happy today, maybe they wanted us to send away USASA so that they attend. Never send them. Maybe it's a good thing that we send USASA away so that we see them. What is their role to them? Do they have this capacity to assist these entities? Or else, the capacity they have is to say, let us appoint a task team. Let us appoint a technical team to assist them. Thank you, Chair. For now, I'll pause.
Kaden.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask, in support of what Honourable Ndabeni has now said about capacity, and if we look on page 46, we actually have the staff complement of USASA for the year under review. Now, if I could just get an explanation, from the looks of it, if I look at the levels, if they comply with the public service and administration levels, it appears, I'm not saying it is so, and I just need clarity about it, it appears that we have, out of the total staff complement of 57, we have 21 people who are not managers or directors or chief directors or deputy director generals. So from what it stated here, it appears that there are more managers that there are people who are executing. Now, how was this staff complement devised and developed, and has it subsequently changed? Has there been any movement as far as this, and on what basis was it compiled? Because from here, it is evident that we are, unfortunately, because we don't see delivery on the project, we see that this is basically, USASA could be regarded as an employment, a place of employment for a number of people. And we cannot, as a portfolio committee of Parliament, sit and see that the agency is not delivering, yet people are very comfortably positioned in senior management positions, etc. You cannot have a staff complement that consists of 57. Yesterday we had a staff complement of 23 managing highly effectively. They're reporting to the GCIS, another agency of the public service. And they are really delivering. So there's no excuse for an institution such as USASA with more than half the staff complement to not be able to deliver. So please, can we have an explanation?
Ndabeni?
In the last presentation,
you must raise your hand, then I will not. Then you speak. Not speak before I come to you. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Chairperson. I will do it again. In the previous presentation, when a quarterly report was presented, I asked about the Umsinga project, specifically the service provider, the license that they have. I requested USASA to provide me with that. Did they qualify in terms of the license that they have? When did they acquire the license? Did the license speak to what they were mandated to do? On top of that, Chairperson, reports have been made with regards to the centers that USASA has. The Ulwazi, I don't know if any of the members have gone to the Ulwazi center here in Cape Town. It's not working. I engaged people there.
public accessible place. It has never worked for them. They have some issues or technical issues. If you suppose I can take us through. Because apparently even in Soweto, one of the centers, they are not working. They will tell you some when you go to them. In fact, what we do, honorable member, when you are coming for oversight, we bring computers so that the centers are fully equipped, and then you look at them and you think they are functional, but internet is not there. That's the report by the centers that I've visited. So I want them to rectify or say that is not true, then I get the document. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Any member or Kekane?
Yeah, sure. When we did an oversight in SABC, we were told by the staff that people resign there and they come back as consultants because they think it pays better to do the same job, not as a fully employed person, but as a consultant. I'm sure with that background, that's why we have this concern about technical advisor, because the first question would be, why didn't they employ somebody with the skills that the technical advisor has as a permanent person? Because you then appoint somebody for a permanent position and want another one to advise him. Why don't you advertise and say, this is the position and these are the skills required? Is that if it was at the beginning of things 1994, we'd advise why technical advisor would be required, because experience is not there, new people are coming in. But here it becomes questionable what it is still happening after 18 years, because we should have built capacity in the country of this kind of skills, or we should have employed the people in the right. You know, I'm just saying that with that thing, the people come back as consultants and it is more expensive to do so. It is worrying also in this matter. I wish that just employed somebody with the right skills to take the position. So maybe they can explain why.
Thank you, Kekan. Sasa, are you ready to respond? But before you respond, you must clarify me that the issue of the presentation, because we must get it right, what exactly has happened in the presentation? Is the new presentation or addition of what we said you must go and add? I just want to clarify around that, because the matter is about the presentation. Because when I was consulting, I was told that you are using the same presentation, the one which we have presented last week. Let's start there probably before we go to the question.
Thank you, Chairperson. What has happened is an addition to the presentation that we did send it to you before. But what we did, we did make some inputs on the questions that were raised by the members, so that you have more clarity. And then after we left here, we only had an opportunity to get all the members to meet on Tuesday. To meet on Tuesday, and immediately after our meeting, we had to rush to a bilateral meeting with the minister. And then Mr. Tandeka from our office, he was in contact with an official from your office on how are we on us to give you this set of presentation. So because we left the office of the DOC around about 9 o'clock, I'll say 9:30 to 10 on Tuesday. So, and then even and the bookings we did very late. So we decided that the team, as you see here, then must all of us must be able to catch up the flight from 12 to 1 o'clock, so that at least by 3, half past 3, all of us were here. So all the input, because Minister summons us saying that he wants to have a briefing on what we are going to present as results. So that's how we ended up, we finished that late. And then we only had an opportunity yesterday from 5 o'clock, and then to incorporate what our discussions at the board stroke EFCO strategic plan on Tuesday, and our discussion with the minister, and then only tomorrow until correct around about 8 o'clock. That is the only time that we managed to finish this. And in that space, Mr. Ndeka was in contact with an official from your office.
Maybe we'll come to that. Can you respond to the questions?
Yeah, Chairperson, can I ask about 2 or 3 minutes so that I must interact with the board members? I'm just raising this because there's a question Honorable Stella said he saw from PASA what are your reports. So I've seen the way they have been asked, I think I'll just want to meet the board members to see how can we structure the response so that all the members should be able to take part with the board members. If it's possible that you can get about 2 to 3 minutes, myself and the board members.
I don't know. I mean, I thought this is the stuff they are conversant with. So, Chair will just say, you take this because by this is field, you take this. I mean, if we're going to have a meeting, caucuses meeting, or when are we going to finish? But I'm just saying, maybe we can indulge and allow them, but in the future, really. We can have meeting, caucuses meeting. When responses must come, you must have a caucus. We ask another round of questions, you must. We can't work like that. It doesn't give a free flow of exchange of information. I mean, things must be on your fingertips. You deal with these matters on a daily basis. But here, well, let's give them without wasting time.
I'm reminded of one issue. I'm told they say politician, they can't talk straight. If you want to explain something around like a bond, say, you know, 90 degrees, 180, 270, and 360 degrees, what does that make? It's a complete cycle. It looks like a bond. And that's the bond. But it's the bond anyway. But look, Chair, I'm sure the point the member is making is correct. Since we started the annual report for the third time, an entity has requested a caucus. But history is being made every day of our lives. It's fine, we'll give you, but 2 minutes is not sufficient. We'll give you 10 minutes because we want to take tea. So that you've got more time to do whatever you do. But when you come back, we steamroll until we finish. There's nothing will change factually and the issues that members have raised. We'll give you 10 minutes to be generous, more than the 2 you require. You can have your 10 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chairperson, members, we are proceeding with the meeting. I'm sure everyone understands that we are having very tight time schedule. We must finish this meeting. We must go and develop the report for the PRR report. We should be reconvening and adopt those reports. So time is not on our side that much. Chairperson?
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you so much for affording us an opportunity to have a 10-minute caucus. This is how we are going to respond to our questions. I will be assisted by the board members. She's Mr. Vosinqobo, who is the chairperson of HR. So we'll make sure that all the matters that deals with HR, that in response to that, and CEO will, acting CEO will assist her. And then on the matters of the projects, Professor Pasa is the chairperson of the finance and business development. So he will handle the question, but will be assisted by myself and the acting CEO. And then on all matters deals with audit and risk management will be handled by Mr. Becky Maduna, who is a member of audit and risk management. So this is how we will approach. Thank you so much, and I apologize for asking that 10 minutes. It was, we knew that everything is in our fingertips, but we wanted to structure ourselves. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'll give it over to Mr. Vosinqobo to handle all the questions that deals with the HR matter.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of Parliament. The Member of Parliament asked a question with regards to the four suspended employees of USASA, whether we are paying them. Yes, we are paying them. Their suspension has payment. Since there is a forensic audit that is taking place at USASA, and the legally, or we were advised by our legal team to say we can't just suspend them without any pay because these people are not yet charged. However, members, the forensic audit that is taking place internally, we gave them 30 days for them to give us a report so that we can be able to formally charge these people if there's any charge that we can put against them. So in terms of delaying the suspension, we were wary with the fact that we don't want them to be on suspension for 6 months or 8 months with full pay. So we made the point that within 30 days we should charge these people if we get anything out of them. However, the issue of board members not attending or board members not attending full meetings. Members, in the board we're running with five board members. Myself, Peggy, Professor Pasa, Dr. Chelly. We've raised the issue with the previous minister, General Spionyanda, to say we are on a skeleton operation as board members. We need two extra board members, as Chad said. Some of the board members, like myself, we sit on different committees, so we can't be able to attend some of the meetings just because we don't want to be referees and the players at the same time. The issue of the technical advisor, Peggy Maduna, my colleague, who's also in the technical team, will take you through on the process of that. Thank you.
Mr. Ngobo, there's a question that was raised with regard to the staff, the complement of management, and vis-a-vis the ordinary employees. Can you answer that?
Just hold, Babu Ngobo, before I respond. Muruto?
Can I have been here to say what has been explained to us? Somehow it's not complete because we don't know how we will resolve the issue of a skeleton structure. Yes, you did inform someone, but you don't tell us how it was resolved.
minister is aware that the board is operating on a skeletal and much cost staff. The bilateral meeting that we had on Tuesday, the minister has assured us that he's definitely going to capacitate us. So basically, there will be another board member that will be joining us. Since some of our board members, their terms are coming to an end of this month, so the minister is committed to say he is going to give us board members so that we can have the fully fledged board members. The issue of managers vis-a-vis senior managers vis-a-vis the ordinary, workers or lower level employees. Members, when I took over the HR a year, 3 months ago, I raised the issue to say it seems as if we're working with higher skilled people, understanding that USASA is technical. However, we need the full soldiers. We then, the board approved to have 9 offices in all provinces, which will have an administrator as well as the provisional manager. Currently, we are operating with 5 offices, and all of those offices have the provisional manager as well as the administrator. I'm not disputing the fact that we have a lot of higher, senior managers versus the lower managers. We are looking to that matter, but those people who are sitting at head office as senior managers, there are some of them who are doing work in regionals. So basically, a person might be a senior manager based in head office, but will be doing work in Mpumalanga or Limpopo or KZN or whatever. It is a matter that we are dealing with regards to the higher senior manager that's sitting at the head office. So that matter has been raised with the HR, and we're looking to that matter to resolve it. Thank you.
Skill-based ICT, internal skilling. The member is asking that we are talking about highly skilled, but is the ICT skill there? What we are supposed to do? Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I ask, do we have the enough capacity internally in USASA? And then I said, when I mean enough capacity, do we have the staff component that have skills that respond to what the agent stands for in terms of ICT matters? Or we have general skilled people who are there to serve, I don't know what, if they are not skilled for ICT. That is why we would require the expertise outside and all that. So as an HR person, I take it that, out of the 5 managers that you have, 2 or 5 have the ICT background and all that. Because that's why it's important they are managing an ICT institution. Thank you.
Chief Person?
Yes?
Can I ask just a follow-up on the issue of the organizational structure?
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, what informed the current structure? Because it is broadly recognized that structure follows strategy. And we see that the agency has failed to really come up with a strategy to underpin its statutory responsibilities. Now, if you're saying that you admit that there's a bit of a disjuncture between the structure and what you should achieve, what has really informed the current structure? And was it not wrong? Was it not supposed to have been the other way around? And how are you now going to address that issue? Are you going to see if you get HR specialists to say, let's restructure, let's really get the HR to support those functions that we are duty-bound to actually deliver? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You see, members, maybe let's do like this so that we'll be able to move. We want to move.
we're starting with the wrong issue. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the logic of these issues, how they've been questioned. Probably that's where we need to start. Firstly, I think the biggest question that we are here is that you've got an annual report which has presented before us where there's an Auditor General funding. There was one question cutting across which was saying, do you dispute the Auditor General finding? I think that those are the issues. We must start with the broader issues, then we'll go with the internal matters as we move forward and so on. Because if you don't do that, we'll discuss and discuss bit the other questions, and then later we find that we still have to answer the bigger question. Secondly, there was also a question that which was raised, which we have tried to deal with now, the issue of the skills, the issue of the issues not picked up by the AG, and so on. So if you can help us with that, the high-level issues. I thought that while you have a caucus, you are trying to align your responses in a manner which will be able to flow. But you see, if you started human resource, but you've got other issues which are supposed to come before human resource must support certain things, it becomes a little bit, and so on. But not necessarily that human resource is not important. It is important, but let's start with those questions. Because once you clarify members of those questions, then it becomes a straightforward question in relation to the functions of the other thing. Let's try the Auditor General's report. Yes, Utu Baba. Yes, it's back.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The question as to whether, as Audit and Risk Committee, we dispute the finding of the AG and the status of... Okay. The agency disputed the findings of the AG and the report and the status of the AG report according to USASA, and whether the information was hidden to the AG or the management misrepresented themselves. I'm going to probably, in the answer, try to then answer all those ones to say, as the agency, we respect the AG. We don't anyway dispute their finding, but what we want to bring to the attention of the House that the concerns of the board emanate from the transactions which started around February 2011. Unfortunately, the report of the KAG covers up to March 2011. So there was that high chance of them probably picking these transactions in this current financial year. Probably that's where I think, I'm not going to probably answer on behalf of the AG, but that's what I think that caused the AG not to pick up these late transactions, because they started right at the end of the financial year, whilst their cutoff was at March. However, as a board, we have to look at the transaction as and when they happen. That is why, as when it came to the attention of the FNB committee and it was raised, then the board dealt with it then. By then, the AG has already concluded on the transaction up to the end of March, which is the financial year under review. In terms of the policies and procedures in USASA, whether they are in place, yes, policies and procedures in USASA are in place, but now and then management will bring the issues of policies that need to be reviewed. So policies are a moving target. If there are areas where the management feels that they need to be improved, we engage on that process to review the policies. In terms of the technical advisor that has been appointed by the agency, the duration, the skills transfer, the process and the profile, sitting at the task team that has been put in place, we have identified the challenge with regard to the finances of USASA. As members would recall, the people that are suspended in USASA is the CFO, one of them is the CFO, and the another is a senior manager supply chain. That raises an issue that we still have a challenge on those specific areas. I would also want to draw the attention of the members to our annual report, more especially on the on page 21, where we have reported that we haven't achieved most of our projects. However, if you look at the finances on page 109, you could see that we have spent all our money. So we need to beef up our financial management so that it talks to the project and the financial management with the money that has been allocated to the project, so that if we say we have not achieved, at least we have got some money allocated, well, that is still left for us to be able to achieve what is still not to achieve. At the moment, we are sitting in a situation where we have not achieved in terms of the project, but we have spent all our money, which in terms of the Audit and Risk Committee is a concern, and it then raises the issue to say, if we are to get a technical advice, which area we'll have to beef it up. Fortunately, the technical advisor is a finance person in terms of the profile. He is a CA, and he's been a partner in one of the audit firms. The duration of the technical advisor is going to be 6 months. We expect that during the 6 months, these areas that I've highlighted in terms of finance and supply chain is the areas that we have to spend most time on, transferring skills on the current staff, on the acting CFO that is there together with the finance staff and the supply chain to make sure that these areas are upgraded. I've talked about the profile, the CA. In terms of the budget, or in terms of how much, we have used the DPSA rate in terms of negotiating with the technical advisor, and the total amount per month is going to be 288,000, and it's going to be seeing all the areas in finance and also advising the CEO in terms of analyzing the figures to make sure that the project talks to finance and vice versa. As to whether we have budgeted for this amount, the answer would be no, because we didn't anticipate that we will, in the course of operation, discover these things. This will call for reprioritization within our budget to make sure that the agency continue running whilst officials that are performing this duty are still on precautionary suspension. And we hope that, the skills transfer is going to take place to work on the current staff that is still within the management of SASA. I think I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you. Maybe the logic question after we have presented that, I've seen what the members have asked about the duties of the technical advice. They look like board members' activity. What is the difference between those duties to the board duties? I'll tell you where I'm going. Because for me is that I think if you present a strategic plan at the time which you presented the strategic plan. Until this time, you come here and tell us that 90% of your project has not been done, but the money has been exhausted or has been utilized. On what areas is that money being utilized? And why do you deem it fit yourself as a board to have that? I don't understand that you come and present a strategic plan entire year goes,
towards the end, you get a technical person comes in to do your job. Someone must tell me, the jobs which are there, what you must do is your job. Everything is a board issue. What board are appointed to do is what is there on the technical advice. Now, my question is, are you really fit to be board member? Or what were you doing exactly as a board? Because for me, that just called the resignation of all of you. That we have to resign. That thing and have a new board is going to take over. That's what it means to me. But unless you can be able to explain to me, you present a strategic plan, the year gone, nothing. Money has been spent. Money has been spent. That's what Mr. Maduna is saying. If you look at the money, money is gone. But when you look at the project, there seems to be some. Now, what fiduciary duties did you have during the last time since we have presented your strategic plan until the annual report, which you have exercised yourself as a board? Maybe that's what you must respond. But from where I am, I can assure you that if these members are serious about the public money, I nearly said zip testing. If they are serious about public money, I think we have just to recommend that you must all step down and a new board be appointed. You have failed in your fiduciary duty to execute, because the technical person is doing your job, so why are you there? And let the new board be appointed. That person report to the new board, which will take things forward. Because this board, from where I am, from what we are saying, we have just failed in your fiduciary responsibility to make sure that funds of the agents are utilized in a manner which they're supposed to. And if you can't justify that, I think we must just close this meeting, because there's no need to continue this meeting. Here you've got a board which dismissally failed to exercise its fiduciary duty. Any other things can come sideways, but at the heart of this, what were you doing for the whole year when these things happened as a board? The question was asked, were you ever misled as a board by the executive in terms of activities and so on? That's why I say you should start to respond on the actual things, which will make us to understand the environment before we continue and so on. So you have to explain why you should not step down as board member under this circumstance, which I presented before. Why must you not step down? I know some of you, the contract coming to an end in a month's time and so on, but I'm saying from where I am, that you can explain why you are not stepping down, because you have just failed to do what board is supposed to do. Probably you have failed because of your inward work, your outward work, it doesn't matter to me. What is matters is how did you manage to safeguard the interests of the public money. Any other things to me will be secondary, because you are not appointed and for any other things except that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you have just summarized it very well, that really there will be no need for us to proceed in this meeting. Because after the response of the gentleman there, even the human resource issues, there's nothing new, same people, same issues that were raised. In fact, they were supposed to be here readily prepared. Because in terms of these questions, even during the last meeting, some of these issues were hinted by members. But board members are still not yet ready. And after the response now, I mean, Chairperson, you are right. It's just a sign that says we have failed South African citizens. We have failed Visasa. They must tell us, before we proceed, they must tell us, what did they do for the last financial year? What leadership advice have they given to the executive? In all this mess that is happening in Visasa, what role did they play to make sure that they keep the car running very fast? They failed. Unless they convince us otherwise, Chairperson, that taking the last meeting and today's meeting, especially the response there now,
in regard to Auditor General issues, and it is clear that they don't agree with the opinion of the Auditor General. Because they don't, they can say it, but they don't. The statement says we don't agree with that. Just they don't say it exactly the way I'm saying it. But really, Chair, let them just respond on your summary. Then we'll decide whether we continue or not. It's not our responsibility anyway to nominate board members. The responsibility of the minister. But as public representatives, we have the responsibility. And unfortunately, the same minister as the executive accounts to us as parliament. So we are exercising our role here to say you have failed. Honorable Velma here has raised serious issues in regard to universal access. You know, it's a serious challenge. If a person goes through a report, we have issues to raise in that regard. It is also the most critical area that we are supposed to perform. But clearly, Chairperson, I'm not happy the way we are heading. Because even if they come to respond, because the more they respond, the more we want to ask, the more questions from the members. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you. Tambi? Hilan?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to have, when the board responds, if they could please respond to tell us if they agree to their fiduciary responsibilities in the PFMA. And I think it's quite clear what those are. It says if the public entity has a board or other controlling body, that board or controlling body is the accounting authority for that entity, which is you. Secondly, fiduciary duties, as the Chairperson has explained, of accounting authorities are fully explained in Section 50 of the PFMA. And then a critical matter that we need to consider is offences and penalties, Section 86. An accounting officer is guilty of an offence, and in subsection 2, it refers to the accounting authority, which is the board, is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years if that accounting authority willfully or in a grossly negligent way fails to comply with the provision of Section 50, 51 or 55, which is what I've referred to. The question is the board aware of the very serious nature of their responsibilities, the fiduciary responsibilities, and also of this particular section, which actually, if you read it and if there is a general consensus amongst these members, that the board has been grossly negligent and therefore should either resign voluntarily or should accept that we as a committee have no other choice but to actually insist that action should be taken against this accounting authority. Thank you.
My heart builds to hear people coming here and justify this irregular expenditure that they're saying. I'm calculating the 288,000 times 6 is going to amount to 1.7 million in 6 months, but they failed to deliver projects in Emalahleni and Limpopo because of budget constraints. Chairperson, this is really disturbing. I think we need an explanation to this aspect. Also, my whip has asked questions with regards to processes followed in appointing this technical advisor. There was no response to that. Was it an open process or it was an head-to-handed pick-up process? So the question is not answered, but this issue of this fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that is irregular in particular, cannot be justified. We cannot allow that. I think we need an explanation to that effect.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm going through the report on financial statement, 31st March 2010. The reason why I'm going back to that was the same leadership. We haven't had changes of leadership. Matters of leadership, again, were raised in this report. I will read. The accounting authority did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility over reporting and compliance with laws and regulations by implementing controls to prevent the occurrence of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. At least
whether you still want to hear from them if they really understand what is their responsibility from that board. Judging by their responses here and the report on the failures that have happened in that agency, it clearly tells there is no leadership. I said last week, Chairperson, there is no way that we can have a malfunctional administration if the leadership is provided. Once the management underperforms some things and the board does not pick up those things on time, it means there's a crisis in the board. But you're asking a critical question in terms of the capability and the understanding of the mandate of the board. To me, Chairperson, they don't understand. Coming to the question of your response, Honorable, of Mr. Madonna, you are telling me, you are emphasizing on the need for financial advice or whatever, finances advice, hence you appointed an accountant. Looking into these terms of reference, bullet number 4, one of those, in fact, all the bullets, identify governance and financial issues, facilitate the formulation or review of general governance policies. I want to see an accountant that is able to do that. Again, you say, and so that you start to perform these functions in terms of the Electronic Communications Act, the PFMA, and other relevant legislation. Unless this accountant that you took here has the ICT background, if he or she does not have the ICT background, you will never understand what ECA is. We all know accountants. They are the same, wherever you go. Chairperson, I think who Honorable said that it very well. If we can call for the minister to dismiss this board, we will be failing our duty as public representative. Secondly, Chairperson, they proudly stand here motivating for the appointment of the technical advisor with these responsibilities that talk to them. The HR board member tells us that the minister has told them that he's going to beef up the board. But still, when they're going to get a beef up from the minister, they still see a need for a technical advisor to do their responsibilities. After they can say, Minister, okay, during the end of February or whatever month, these members' contracts are coming to an end. Therefore, when you appoint board members, make it a point that you appoint a person with a finance background and whoever, so that we are able to carry our money as expected of us. They don't think about that. They don't see that as an intervention to assist them in carrying out their mandate. But they rather, right now, as we are sitting here in October, know and want us to say we are okay with their recommendation of appointing a technical advisor at 1.7 million, DPSA or not. It is unacceptable, Chairperson. These people cannot perform. Our people are still suffering outside there. They can't access internet and everything, which is the mandate of users. But we have people that must just appoint and give this money. Chairperson, I wouldn't their support as a public representing my community from where I come from. Thank you.
Manaba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur what my colleagues in this committee said and also what you said, Chairperson. If I can summarize it in a very short sentence. The USASA board is not interested in the job. That's the main thing. They fail the people who need the services of USASA. You are not interested, and therefore I will support the fact what Honorable Stella has said. We can ask the minister, dissolve the board. They are not interested. Thank you, Chief.
I don't want a USASA when they leave here and say, yes,
presented here is not what we are looking for. And therefore, I really think, Chairperson, you have, you know, room for many things as a chairperson. If I was chairing, I could have long dismissed you, sir. Because the responses that we're getting, the very last one, is not what we asked for. And as a result, they've made things worse. We can't sit here, Chairperson, and come and listen to people who have been given a responsibility. You know, Honorable Druchen was asking whether they understand the word access and universal service. We have been hammering on this, I think, for many, many years. Some of us who have been in this committee. And we expected by now what our whip is talking about. We have been hammering on that, I think, for the last close to 10 years, but there's no improvement. And it really stresses one to come here and talk about the same thing every day, Chairperson. Therefore, I am saying, Chairperson, really, I concur. They mustn't say the old lady is an exception. I concur fully. Thank you.
Nanda.
Earlier on, Chairperson, I thought of asking whether we needed USASA. And I thought that would be too radical a statement for me to make. Then I decided to keep quiet for a while. Because when I saw the report with the strings of not achieved, I then came to the conclusion, what then is the business of USASA? So unfortunately for us, whether it is the failure of the people that got appointed to run USASA, or it is the failure of the we have to face the crunch question as to whether USASA in its present composition is positioned to deliver that which it was envisaged to do in the first place. Unfortunately, from the reports that we have received, and most importantly from the report that we have received today, I'm afraid that the answer is a big no. We need a big rethink on where we go from here with regard to USASA. Unfortunately, the failure of USASA is the failure of the poorest of the poor to receive the services that they need daily on a day-to-day basis. That is the most unfortunate thing. I think the representatives of DOC present here must hear us and actually understand that we cannot continue to have an agency such as USASA continuing to fail our people and the nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Tekan.
Chair, I think the note is there. We had it ring. And indeed, I mean, if the failure, even if you want to help, you can't help, because you can't help failures. If you fail, you just fail. It can't be right or pass on. No, it can't be just because we are there. Even if we fail, we should still be there. So if there's failure, indeed, things must change. Yes, must rock, facts must fly. That's it.
Trochan.
Yes, you know, I think I've got a lot to say, but I'm just disappointed because of access, so thank you now.
Michael. Beth, you look alike.
This is the best compliment I received in my own life.
Look again.
Yeah, thank you. You wonderful chairperson. I love your compliments. Chairperson, I'm feeling very, very sorry for this board. Now, actually, we are sitting in the opposition benches, and normally you think this sort of armada will come from the opposition benches. But now, the ruling party, the ANC, is coming down on you like a ton of bricks. I think you're in big trouble now.
I'm supporting you.
Chairperson, thank you so much. I've been listening attentively with all what the members have just said. And then, honestly, I must say that and agree and take full responsibility to say, yes, we have failed, and I agree. We have failed the people outside there. And then, as I said it last week, that one of my, what I've alluded to say that there has been some problems between ourselves and management, when they got their own problems, then they were to go to the board members and divide. And that thing in itself has, that is the one that has caused all these kind of things. And then those are the kind of problems that have been there. Even, let me be honest by saying, even myself as a chairperson, I end up not being fulfilling my own responsibilities. Because things went very well, because I remember when you came here in February, because I started in December last year, and then my first appearance, it was somewhere in January and February.
Honorable Sir, Bamba Chen, Honorable Sir.
Chairperson, I want to appeal to the chairperson of the board that members have said what they wanted to say. If he has to say something, he must say something, but it must not be personal. All the issues that he raised last week, those issues were raised, are recorded, we have dealt with those issues. So we are not interested anymore on the stories. That so-and-so, we are clever, no so-and-so, so-and-so, no. That's not our interest. And I think members have spoken. Chairperson, please, if you can just give direction.
Chair, you hear the views of the members wanted to respond on about your body which you are leading.
Chairperson, I wanted to explain those, but anyhow, I'll go straight to the point. And then, as I've said that, yes, I took full responsibility on what's happened, despite a bit on what has happened and my frustration. So, myself, I'm saying in front of this house, for the benefit of the community, to say, by the end of the month, I'm sitting voluntarily as a chairperson, as a board member of USASA. I'm taking that full responsibility with regard to that. And I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Any board member want to speak? Who within you as board members think it's fit to continue as a board member after this report? Dr. Patton.
Chairperson, no, I agree with members. I mean, equally, it is a concern, it's a disappointment. That we have not been able to achieve on the mandate. I suppose there are a number of reasons. We don't want to go into those reasons, whatever they may be, because I did have specific responses as the questions had come up earlier on in terms from around the projects where we saw them. But I think overall, a synopsis of the overall situation, it's not tenable. And yes, the agency has not achieved. I also support the call by more than one member that we also really have to consider a serious introspection, because in terms of when this agency was created in its first form in the Telecoms Act in the latter 90s, there was a particular view. We we're now in a converged environment. This was repealed in the ECA. And so there are serious issues, because it cannot be for such a long period of time that the agency continues to deliver. So there needs to be a very strong introspection about the role of an agency like this in terms of delivering with a gap. So Chairperson, I think we, as a board member, we must take responsibility. We don't want to go into reasons and make excuses. But as I'm saying, getting down to the root of that. I also believe in a concept. I think there are serious capacity issues. These need to be recognized. Very serious capacity issues, Chairperson. And we need to recognize, I think all of us involved must take responsibility for the problem. But I want to really support this, taking the issues internationally and trying to locate how this agency is positioned right now, I think is problematic, and there has to be a fundamental change. Thank you, Chair.
So, do you think that after this report, you have to continue as board member?
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, I think as board members, we have the responsibility, and exactly what my colleague have just said, we need to do our own self-introspection to see whether are we doing justice to the USASA, are we doing justice to the people of South Africa. Jefferson, I think, you know, being a South African passionate with telecoms, I think one still has a role to play in the sector. I would be unfair to say I'll step down leaving the matters at hanging like this. We as the board members need to meet and basically do a self-reflection to say whether are we doing justice to the South Africans. Thank you.
Pamadona. After this report for the whole year, none achieved, but money spent. Your view?
Thanks, Chair. I think from my side, in terms of making sure that money spent is spent in terms of the procedures, yes, Auditor General has expressed an opinion. But as the subcommittee of the board, where the request was made and the work was done and the feedback was given to the board, so that responsibility is still needed in terms of making sure that the funds are accounted for one way or the other, and that report is presented to the AG for auditing for them to express an opinion. And on that aspect. Whether I agree with the members that we need to do an introspection and check as to where did it go wrong, but from the side of the risk and audit committee, it has done all its work to make sure that the risks that are identified are brought to the attention of the board members for the attention. So in terms of financial management, that aspect still need to continue.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I've taken all the members, the board members, the four of you. Members, we must close, but I see hands. I see Tsebe, I see Mastori, Otsebe, Keka, Nemrutua, and David.
No, Chairperson. You know, I don't know. I hear the gentleman there saying you said they must go back and do introspection. I've never said that. You have made it clear. They failed. Other board members are saying doing justice, taking responsibility, role to play, still to meet. All of these things, the board members had an ample opportunity and time to do these things during the financial year. If they failed, it's not us, Honorable Chair, that says the board has failed. It's them. This report is
not achieved, Chairperson. But it's not us. We have not contributed to the writings of this report. They have. So I'm not sure, Chairperson, if we still have board members that say they will still continue. In short words, they are saying, give us more chance. They have failed, the South Africans. I've said it before. They failed. I just want to give you, Chairperson, without taking any more of your time, two things. Because I wanted to raise that when the Human Resource member was, Human Resource Chairperson of the board was saying that. I wanted to do a follow-up then. You said those things must come back. I just want to say these two things just to show that really they have failed us. They are not capable to deal with the finances of the SASA. They are not at all to me. During the last financial year, there was a staff increase of plus minus 20 people. The question is, where did they get money to pay the salaries of these people? Obviously, universal services access processes suffered. Because of that, because their priority is consultants, is staff, is job creation, is not the universal service access check thing. They have, as the committee have requested them by July, they must have finalized their fund manual and their national strategy. Where is it? Now, Chairperson, I'm really disappointed. If we still have board members that say they are fit enough to lead this agency, they are not Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Anything different, Navin, you want to say from that?
Chairperson, is just a vote of no. Maybe the board does not get it. Yeah. We are saying, as this portfolio committee, we are passing a vote of no confidence from the Chairperson down all those board members. There have been there, Chairperson. No improvement has been done. We further say as a committee, we are going to recommend to the minister that none of them comes back because it is clear and evident that they did not add any value. If they did, maybe it's according to their own interest, but according to the public and the agency's interest, they did nothing. On top of that, Chairperson, I asked a question of which I would request that the management that is here, when they come back or they write to us, what is the skilling background of the employees of USASA? Because it goes both ways. It needs to be balanced. We need to understand if we have the right managers and the right employees in USASA that seek to drive the money. These ones have all failed. We are passing a vote of no confidence. We are clear, Chairperson. Thank you.
Ma'am Ruto, anything different?
No, Chairperson, you know, Chairperson, maybe it's a... because some people don't understand the procedures. This is Parliament. And the Minister also accounts to Parliament. And we are doing a task given to us by Parliament that we review, budget, and recommend. This is the time when we are doing this. We would have recommended, if there was a good report, we could have. Now we are recommending again to the minister and to Parliament that they have failed, and we mustn't be misquoted. That's what I wanted to say. There is nothing here to go back and go and introspect. They should have done that long before this. We are saying we have no confidence.
Thank you very much, members. I salute you, Chairperson of USASA Board, and Dr. Pata, for being man enough and take responsibility on what has gone down and so on. I note what the other board members are saying in terms of wanting to continue as board members, wanting another opportunity and so on. I'm sure Honorable Mrutua has put it well, that we'll be recommending to the minister
that you will be relieved from your responsibilities and get another people as board members who are going to be able to take the work of this agency forward. But the chairperson has already indicated what he said, and Dr. Pata, but I'm just saying that's what we think would be a good thing to do. It's got nothing to do about your personality or individual. It's all have to do what this government stood for. When we talk about good corporate governance and talk about the issue of fiduciary responsibilities of boards, it's got nothing to do with individuals. I think you have to understand it in that manner, that if this thing happened, once you are there, it means we are unable to manage or to do what you're supposed to do. So I don't want, when we leave this meeting, that we personalize things or we do whatever. It's in the name of board, understand fiduciary responsibilities, and also we understand that when you talk about good corporate governance, that's what we mean. So that's what we'll do. But we must also indicate that the work we should be started and all the other things, we are not calling for the stopping of processes and so on. I'm sure that the other people, of course, if our recommendation goes through, will be equally to the task to do the work and so on. But what we are trying to make clear as a committee is that we cannot be accounted with people who failed to act when circumstances demanded so. We can't. We will always act when we think that the circumstances are deemed fit for us to do so. That's why I want to recommend what we are recommending, that you have to be relieved from your duties and get other people to continue with the agents to take it forward and so on. Of course, I'm sure there are other areas where the strengths are which you can be utilized for other things and so on. But we are saying on this, just this responsibility was given to you to direct this ship, which is called USASA. You directed it like Titanic. You just have hit the iceberg. And once you do that and the ship sinks, the captain remains there. The captain will always sink with the ship. And the ship, and unfortunately, there are the people who have been driving that ship and so on. So it's unfortunate that we aren't able to take the other issues around which we're supposed to deal with. But I think, like I've said, nothing personal, no vendetta. You decided to be cat and mouse yourself and fight amongst yourselves instead of focusing on the board. You focus on the fans or spectators who are watching the match, and you leave the ball to focus on the ball. The consequence of that is that your project didn't go. And you must blame yourself. And you should be ashamed to yourself that your personality or ego has taken over the fiduciary responsibility as a board. And that should not be allowed to happen. We can't be boards of egos. We are bored with a common vision of achieving what that institution we are bored for to do. Any other things will be secondary than that. But in this instance, you chose to prioritize other things and allow the managers or the executive to continue to do their things because there was no one watching. Actually, it is with other things and so on. That will be our recommendation, difficult as it may be. Thanks very much, Chairperson, and all the board members. That will be our recommendation. This meeting is adjourned. Yes?
As members, we expressed our concern over the appointment of the technical advice, especially in terms of the financial implications that it has to the agency, that we cannot sit here as members of parliament and agree to the appointment of a person that will cost the agency 1.8 million, whereas the agency right now cannot function because they don't have money. Yeah. Just add that to the recommendation, Chairperson.
Thank you. that will add that the concern about the appointment of the technical advisor is appointed by yourself as a board, isn't it? Honourable Chair.
Chairperson, just also to add to that, that we by no means mean that any of the disciplinary actions, etc., should be suspended. In fact, all of that should go, should proceed, and if necessary, there should also be a skills audit of the agency so that we can really identify the weaknesses and build on those weaknesses so that we can strengthen the organization going forward. Because an incoming new board will sit with a staff complement where we are aware that there are also problems. So I think we must also make that part of the recommendation to them.
Thank you very much, members. If I omit it when we deal with the final BR report this afternoon, don't forget, I should be able to capture, we are capturing those issues and so on. So that we are clear, we are not acting that because people are suspended and so on, we are acting because of a year period of performance. That suspension, I'm sure, is mandatory. So we are talking about a year of performance that we are basing our recommendation. We are also taking note the recommendation that maybe it's time also to rethink, Dr. Pata, what you are saying about the role of the agency itself, whether it has been correctly or strategically placed to do what it's supposed to do, or you need a rethink in terms of the framework and so on. So those are the issues which will go into that research by also results. We are meeting here, members, I'm told, at 3. We should be meeting here at 3. In the same venue to deal with the BRR reports. For now, for me and the staff is to consolidate the reports so that they are ready at that time when we record.